Apple completes the transition to Intel chips.
We have Mac news coming out of our ears.
We have John Modularo and David Avery's views on WWDC.
All that and more on MyMac.com Podcast 90.
The next generation of radio. It's the MyMac.com Podcast. Podcasting from the MyMac.com studios, it's your hosts, Tim Robertson and Chad Perry.
MyMac Podcast number 94, sponsored by Small Dog Electronics. Check out smalldog.com for all your Mac, iPod, printer, you name it, electronic needs, and ramjet.com. If you need RAM or hard drive, check out ramjet.com.
Also brought to you by InnoTech. InnoTech. Sponsor great web services for 8 years, at least for our show, at least for our website.
Yeah, and they also host Mac Addict. So,
yep.
Mac friendly, reliable. What else do you need?
That's right.
It's been a busy week, hasn't it, Chad?
Yeah.
As we speak,
WWDC
is still going on. There's still some things going on in San Francisco, mm-hmm. and our webmaster Adam Carnabogue happens to be there right now.
Yeah,
he's
good for him.
Well, it's part of his job.
He has
to be
it is.
There. So, you know, he said it's great. He says he loves the way he's being catered to. He said there's food everywhere you look.
Well, did you see the ratio? There's like one Apple engineer for every four attendees.
And that's
at that
fantastic.
Conference.
Yeah. That's you need that, mm-hmm. especially with a platform that's solely dependent on your third party developers.
That's right.
And Apple really seems to know how to take care of the developers, and unfortunately, they don't know how to take care of independent Mac websites, but that's a whole different story altogether.
Yeah.
We've got a ton of news. We've got a really fun interview I conducted last night via Skype with David Avery and John Martellaro.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll stick that in the show in a little bit here. And hopefully we've got an interview coming up.
With Vern Seward.
Yep. Vern hasn't written yet for MyMac.com, although his account's all set up and he's raring to go.
Good deal.
He is currently writing still at Mac Observer, and mm-hmm. I don't think that's going to change.
Right.
I've really enjoyed his stuff over the last year or so at Mac Observer. He has a little bit of a different take on mm-hmm. whatever he's writing about, and I really enjoyed his style. And I actually, before he even decided to write for MyMac.com, mm-hmm. I had invited him on the podcast, geez, maybe 4 or 5 months ago.
Yeah.
I thought he'd be fun to interview. And I have talked to him once on the phone. We ended up talking, geez, for at least a half hour. And I thought he's going to make a great podcast interview.
Mm-hmm.
He's just got a rich computer history. He's mm-hmm. very interesting, highly intelligent. So I'm looking forward to talking to him.
Oh, good deal.
So unlike, you know, when it's just you and I,
yeah.
and the whole entertaining, highly intelligent thing just kind of goes right out the window.
Yeah, I
kind of enjoyed all the news coming out of D.C., or
yeah.
WWDC.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people were expecting the iPhone. I wasn't.
A
lot of people said, oh, they're going to release the new iPod, the video iPod, nothing.
But don't you think those more consumer products are really geared
For an expo or a special event.
I think so.
Yeah. Well, I don't think they're going to wait until Macworld Expo in January to release a new iPod. I think you're going to see something pretty soon.
Before Christmas?
Well, yeah. I think before Christmas, but I really was expecting something before back to school. But, hey, it didn't happen, so let's move on. It's nothing you can do about it.
Well, I think they delivered the one thing that everybody really wanted, and that was the Mac Pro.
And we've been calling it the Mac Pro for what? 4 or 5 months.
Yeah.
And I told you on this last show that Steve Jobs listened to this and he had to name it the Mac Pro because that's what we've been calling it. We were dead on. So I'm taking credit. I know I can.
Yeah, you should.
I'm taking credit. What the hell? So I was happy with the WWDC announcements, but let's hear a little bit different take.
Hello there. This is Dan Rodriguez from Adrian, Michigan. I love your show. You guys got a funny show. That's good. It's entertaining. It's informative. It's all of that, baby. Anyways, the reason I'm calling is I am completely disappointed with the Worldwide Developers Conference. Having the new G5, the Mac Pro, in the same box was a mistake. I don't know. I'm disappointed. I was hoping a new form factor. Really not a lot of exciting stuff. unlike your show, which is, you know, pretty funny and entertaining, damn it. So love your show. Keep up the good work. And Leopard looks really, really nice, though. Really some really good features. They kind of showed it, but didn't. But, I mean, the features that they spoke and showed were really good. Anyways, this is Dan Rodriguez from Adrian, Michigan, signing off. See ya.
And that's Dan Rodriguez's view. Thanks very much for calling our number and leaving a message for us. What's the number that other people can call, Chad?
1.
You don't remember, do you?
801-938-5559.
Just head up to mymac.com. Check any of the show notes for any podcasts and you'll get it. So he's disappointed that the Mac Pro looks exactly like, well, not exactly, but it's pretty much the same box.
Only an extra bay and a couple extra ports in the front.
Otherwise, I was hoping for something smaller myself. I really thought, and I predicted this a long time ago, that when the Mac Pro came out, it would be a cube.
Yeah.
For good reason. Next had a cube, so you know Steve Jobs liked that design. He was a big supporter of the Macintosh Cube, the G4 Cube. So I was kind of thinking, you know what, I bet they're going to go with a cube, and of course, no. Mm-hmm. So, other than the MacBook now, everything else looks exactly like the G4 or the G5 that preceded it.
Mm-hmm.
And even the MacBook, up to a certain extent, kind of looks like the G4 iBook.
Right.
The keyboard's different. It's
different
smaller. Enough
yeah.
to say, okay, that's a redesign. But everything else looks pretty much the same. Now, you can always say, if it's not broke, don't fix it.
Mm-hmm.
But Apple is known for their industrial design, right? I mean, when you think of Apple computers, other than the simplicity of Mac OS or the simplicity of the iPod, that sort of thing, the way their products look has really been the hallmark of Apple since 97, 98, when the iPod came out. Before that, too, but just I'm talking more recent history. They need to refresh the way these computers look. They need to get people excited again.
Yeah, but you know, I think there's a couple of reasons for doing it the way they did. One is probably because it's cheaper. I mean, the box is not the most expensive part of the system, don't get me wrong, but still, it's cheaper to keep it the way it is and to invest all that money in redesign. Two, I think it's also a psychological issue. People feel safer switching to Intel's if it looks like the same thing that they've been using.
Hopefully in the next generation of the Intel machines, they're going to go with a new industrial design.
I think they probably will.
And I got to agree with Dan. I was a little disappointed that the G5.
Mac Pro
looks exactly like the G5.
Oh, sure.
I really wanted something.
I'm kind of
tired of this industrial steel look myself.
Aren't you? I know. It's got that kind of Swedish home furniture look to it.
It doesn't do anything at all for me. And they're very uncomfortable to pick up. The handles on the top are very sharp edged.
But they are distinctive. I mean, when you see somebody, even if you see it like from 30 feet away
or 40 feet away,
you know it's a Mac. It's either a G5 or now a Mac Pro.
They're already for sale, so if you guys are looking to get a professional machine, they're out there. They're ready to go. Let's jump into the news, find out what's going on in the Mac world.
Yep.
And I'll kick her off. Apple released the replacement to the PowerMac G5. The new professional Macintosh desktop is now called the Mac Pro and is available for purchase from Apple and Apple resellers such as smalldog.com now. Notice I worked at commercial right
Very
there.
Very nice. The new Mac Pro features two dual-core Intel Xeon 64-bit processors running up to 3 GHz in speed. Each processor has a 4 meg of L2 cache and independent 1.33 GHz front-side buses.
The new Mac Pros also feature up to 16 gigabytes of RAM.
Ooh, baby.
You know where you can get all that RAM at.
Ramjet.
There's another ad. 4 serial ATA hard drive bays, 2 independent Ethernet ports, 2
Inotech.
I don't know how you work that in there. Ethernet port. They host our server that's plugged in.
Through an Ethernet port.
Yeah, there you go.
Inotech.
Actually, it's not.
I know.
It's fiber, but. 2 optical drive bays and up to an FX 4500 NVIDIA Quadro graphic card.
Pricing starts at $24.99 for the base model, featuring 2 2.66 GHz processors, 2 gig of RAM, a 256 megabyte NVIDIA G4 7300 graphics card, 250 gigs serial ATA hard drive, and a 16-speed double-layer super drive.
But if you want to splurge, the maxed-out, top-of-the-line Mac Pro will set you back only $13,076, a bargain
Good
for any dollar Mac user. I went in price.
Yeah,
just,
but you know, that's if you buy every stinking thing from Apple.
But that wasn't, let's see, what I didn't order the keyboard and the mouse, so I saved like, you know, $50 there. And I didn't get, because on that page, when you're ordering it, you can actually order the monitors too. But I didn't order that. That's just a Macintosh sans keyboard and mouse. Although, honestly, if you're going to spend, you know, $13,000, you might as well get a new Mac and or a keyboard and a mouse.
Yeah, that's a minor expense by the time you get that point. Yeah.
Apple also unveiled the G5 Xserve replacement. It's the new quad 64-bit Xeon processor. Xserve, something's beeping at me, so I'm like looking away as I'm trying to read.
I think it's Skype.
This, along with the MacBook Pro, marks the end of the PowerPC generation of Apple hardware. So there you go. It's over, folks. It's all Intel.
Goodbye, G5.
Also at the WWDC, Steve Jobs gave eager Mac users our first glimpse of the new version of the Mac OS 10.5, codenamed Leopard.
While Apple held some of the Leopard features back from us, they did introduce Time Machine, a revolutionary new way to automatically back up and restore everything on your Mac. Space, a new built-in virtual desktop feature, updates to iChat and Mail, and much more.
We will go into more detail about all that later in the podcast, including my conversation with David and John. And Quark Express 7 has released update 701, bringing universal support to Apple Intel machines. Quark, criticized by Apple pundits, including those on this podcast, for releasing Quark Express as a non-Intel application just a few short months ago.
Being Adobe to the Universal game could be a much-needed boon to Quark, who has seen their market share of page layout dominance threatened by Adobe's InDesign.
Virtual PC for Mac gets the axe. I pulled this one off of Mac Minute. Microsoft announced this week that it will discontinue development for virtual PC for Macintosh, reports Mac Central. MacBU has made the decision not to move forward with a universal version of virtual PC at this time. However, current virtual PC customers will continue to receive support for their products, said Microsoft spokesman in a statement.
The company also said that it realizes some users require access to Windows applications, but alternative solutions offered by Apple and other vendors combined with a fully packaged retail copy of Windows will satisfy this need. The company also provided update news on the status of universal development of its other applications for Macintosh.
So, virtual PC is as good as dead.
Yeah, and I think we kind of predicted that.
Well, yeah, I don't know why they would not have killed it. I would have been surprised had they come out and said, we're going to keep going. It's like, okay, now you're going to compete with Boot Camp. Parallels, another company just came out with...
And your own operating system, essentially.
Well, you still have to buy a copy of Windows.
So. Yeah, but...
With Intel inside every new Mac... It doesn't make any sense for them to continue virtual PC.
Yeah.
Because the Mac is a PC.
Mm-hmm.
With Boot Camp, you can boot up any Mac as a PC. All you need is a copy of Windows.
Yep.
I'm going to try it from your computer here. I'm trying to upload something to YouTube so I can post. It's called the... How did I word it? The Tri-Boot MacBook Pro. I got my MacBook Pro to boot up Windows XP, Mac OS X, and Ubuntu.
You did get it in there, huh?
Ubuntu. I'll show you the video here when we take a break.
Sweet.
And let's take our break now. We're going to come back with some more news, and we got an interview coming up, and we'll have some fun.
Yep.
In the meantime, let's listen in to my interview last night with David Avery and John Martellaro. And I'm here with both John Martellaro and David Avery via Skype. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Tim.
So WWDC, the big announcements were made this week. We have a new Mac Pro to replace the aging G5, and we have our first look at Leopard. Let's start with the Mac Pros, and what do you guys think? David first.
Oh, I thought the Mac Pro was impressive, high-end machine. Performance looks good. The price point looks good. The biggest hole for me is it kind of fills up the top end, but leaves like a nice glaring hole in the middle of Apple's product line that just begs to be filled.
John?
Yeah, I had predicted a while back that the next Mac Pro was going to be a slightly smaller unit. And that kind of fits in with what David was thinking about a more modest desktop unit. But instead, they've used that extra space for the four drives. So it sounds to me like they were really listening to their pro customers who were beating on them about how we need dual Ethernet, we need four internal drives, and so on. So they really loaded it up. And maybe the media center is going to be the thing in between.
Does it surprise either one of you that they included two optical drives, but it's the same drive in both? I was kind of expecting maybe a Blu-ray burner in there.
Well, I think, this is John, I think the reason is, as everybody knows, Blu-ray drives are extremely expensive these days. It's going
to
be
and, we're, and we know that Mac users don't like to buy expensive stuff, right?
Well, they couldn't have had that comparison to the Dell if they had a Blu-ray drive in there.
What do you think, David?
Well, I think they've got two slots, so they've got options. I don't know that they have to fill them right away. I don't know which way they'll go. I think Apple's attitude is they're kind of waiting to see which one is going to work. Is Blu-ray, or I forget what the other one is called.
Yeah, HD DVD. I agree.
So there's definitely going to be options in the future, but I guess the first generation, we're kind of stuck with two super drives. Well, any reason that anybody would ever need two super drives in one machine?
They're not loaded, are they? I mean, it's a configuration one that's slotted, is it not?
Ooh, we're getting a really cool echo effect from John.
That's what I thought. I was thinking that, yeah, Apple has two, so you can pirate DVDs much easier.
That's what I kind of thought it was for as well. So, what is it? Up to 16 gigabytes of RAM in them?
Right.
Yeah.
You can have up to four internal drives, and you can just simply plug them in. There's no more ribbon that you have to connect.
That's always nice. I didn't get into the technicals of it that much. I just kind of looked around and said, good industrial design. Way more machine than grandma needs at home.
You think most people were expecting a dual core 2?
I think they were expecting an option somewhere down there, because the Xeon processors with four of them, or four cores, probably a bit overkill for some people. And 2500 or whatever is a pretty hefty entry point. So, I mean, yeah, I think somebody's expecting some machine that just uses a desktop. But a dual core.
Go ahead, John. Yeah, I think we lost John Marty. Martellaro dropped off. It's not like his connection was getting pretty bad.
Yeah, that was neat effects.
Yeah. It's kind of psychedelic. So, David, spaces in Leopard. Do you think that's one of the coolest features? Is that the one you're looking forward to the most? Or?
For me, yeah. I mean, I've always been... I looked at a couple of Apple's other features, and I kept saying, you know, what do I need as a power user? And I need multiple desktops, or spaces, as they call it. I was looking at that when Dashboard came out. I was like, okay, great. I can put some things on another layer, but I can't put everything on another layer. And that's my biggest complaint with Dashboard, is it's like, why can't I put a dashboard item on the desktop? Why can't I put a regular app on dashboard? And Spaces does some of it, but I'm still kind of confused with what Apple thinks dashboard gives them over just having Spaces. Do you know what I mean?
Yep, I know exactly what you mean. What do you think, John? Spaces, a good...
I was off the air there for a while.
Yeah, we're talking about Spaces in Leopard.
I've been using something called Virtue Desktop, and it works very nicely on two monitors. So I've got eight screens on two monitors, and it's pretty nice. But one thing you can't do is drag an app between the different screens of the Virtual desktop. You can drag them across the two monitors, but if you need to quit an app, if you need to run an app in another space, you have to quit it and relaunch it there. So in that sense, I think Spaces is a really elegant way to do it, and I'm really looking forward to it. As far as widgets go, we don't have much use for those.
Do you think it's maybe time to take Dashboard out of its own operating window and bring them onto the desktop as well?
I never thought it should have been on its own operating window. I mean, if you're doing an operating layer like that, let all apps move to it if you want, and let all apps, all dashboard widgets move to the desktop. The separation is arbitrary and it's annoying because it's like, okay, I have to get a dashboard calculator if I want to use a calculator when I'm on the dashboard layer, but I also have to have an app calculator if I want to use a calculator when I'm on the app layer. It's like, what are you doing?
What do you guys think? We'll start with John. What do you think of the new features in iChat?
Convoluted. I'm sorry, you dropped out on me.
Yeah, we have a tendency to do that with Skype. It's such a fantastic program. What do you think of the iCandy and iChat?
Oh, I think that's great. I saw a really nice email from Julian Miller today about his iChat FX, and he was very cool about the whole thing and handled it so well. I think I'm going to post a blog about that. I was really impressed with the way Julian responded. I think people are going to have a lot of fun with those backgrounds.
Time Machine, David.
Yeah?
How does that work? Do you have any idea?
Some ideas. I mean, they obviously hook in and do incremental backups automatically at night. It actually opens more questions than I think it solves. I have all these ideas. Back when Apple was working on OpenDoc and Bento, they had a concept of multi-forked files. And what they would do is every time you wrote a file, you wrote a new version of the file in the same over itself, basically. So what ended up happening is you could look at a file and go back over time. That had some inherent advantages because if I copy a file, I actually copy the entire file's history and you can see all the revisions. This is kind of weird. I mean, Time Machine is like, okay, it almost has version tracking, but only if you have your backup drive hooked up. The good news is it's not all stored on your primary drive. But the bad news is, I mean, a lot of people that want to do backups do things like, okay, I've got my desktop, I've got two drives. It's going to mirror every night. But that's an okay backup for a lot of people, but what happens if your house burns down? You want offsite storage. But I don't want to do that every night. So usually when you do backup solutions, you do, here's my primary or my incrementals, here's how I do my long-term backups, and it looks like the first version doesn't have any of those capabilities. It's like you can basically point it, say, do a backup, keep this many days backup, that's it.
John?
Yeah, I'm curious myself about how far back you can go. I mean, I have an external 400 gigabyte drive with some video on it, and I've got about 250, 300 left to play with, and you know, complete backup of my system is 60 gigabytes, and I'm assuming that they do a full and then an incremental so that they can do deltas over time and see what changes, but I'm still curious about how much space this is all going to take.
Can it span? If I have two external drives, will it automatically know to fill up the first one and then the next one? I mean, I've got the feeling that the first version is going to be pretty limited, and by 3.0, it's going to be pretty cool.
You know what got me, and get your guys' opinion on this, is when Steve Jobs was demoing it, he said if your hard drive goes bad, you just go buy a new one, slap it in, and it's ready to go. Do you think that was a little disingenuous?
No, I think there'll be a way to say it'll have some interface that'll say grab the latest from the last backup you had and restore, and it'll grab, it'll know how to interleave the full with the latest delta and get you up to date. So I think it'll do what he says. I just think it's probably going to be, you know, for some users, but not necessarily a fully clip.
Now let's, before we wrap it up here, I want to ask both of you, what do you think some of the surprises that Steve Jobs didn't show us in Leopard, what do you think is coming out? We'll start with you, John.
Ah, that's a good one. They popped some nice surprises. I can't think of anything that would be substantial except perhaps a new Finder. You know, I'm a big fan of Pathfinder. I live in Pathfinder. And for me, the Apple Finder is just pretty useless. So I think that's maybe one thing that's competitive with Microsoft. They're kind of holding close to the vest or chest.
Your chest. David, what do you think's going to be the big hiding thing from that we're not seeing yet in Leopard?
I don't know. Knowing Apple, I expect not necessarily a new Finder. I more think that they've got like this totally new look. So they'll have something instead of Aqua that'll like glam things up, and they'll use core animation everywhere. And so you'll have flying widgets and stuff like that. If there was going to be a strategic thing, one that I kind of expect sometime in the future, because Apple tends to do a lot of things old over again. Next Step used to have the ability that if you wrote for Next, it could run on Windows. And I could see Apple doing something like that again to combat the argument of virtualization or running Windows and saying, you know, some application companies can say, oh, we don't need to write for Mac because Macs can run Windows software. Well, this would be a great combat for that, because Apple's like, well, if you write for Macs, it'll run on Windows anyways. And it helps them take some control back. Go on.
You said that how did you put it? Apple brings old things back. Is that what you said?
Yeah, they keep rehashing old ideas. I mean, the cube keeps coming back until it works.
That means they're going to rehire John Martellaro. Well, guys, I want to thank you guys for joining me today, and we want to definitely have both of you separately on the podcast and go a little bit more in depth and do a true interview with both of you. But thanks a lot.
Okay, thank you very much, Tim.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. Talk to you later, John.
Let's jump back into some Macintosh news, Apple news, iPod news, whatever you want to call it. Universal news.
Next Annie Network programming now available on iTunes.
Annie Television Networks and Apple announced hit television programs from Annie Network. The Biography and History Channels is now available for purchase and download in the iTunes Music Store.
The new content features popular series such as Chris Angel Mind Freak, Driving Force, and Inked from the Annie Network. The Revolution and Modern Marvels from the History Channel, and selections from the Emmy Award-winning Biography series from the Biography Channel.
iTunes offers over 200 television shows for $1.99 an episode, and some of them are free, so check them out, and you can watch them on your computer or on iTunes. There's a lot of stuff on the entire A&E network I quite enjoy. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have enjoyed it when I was younger.
I know.
But you get older and you start enjoying, I don't know what this Chris Angel Mind Freak is. I have no idea. Or Driving Force.
Well, Chris Angel Mind Freak is basically kind of like David Blaine, only he's a little more extreme.
Oh, goody. We need that. Yep. Modern Marvels, that could be interesting.
Oh, yeah.
I think I've watched the Biography series. I'd like to see what they have available.
Mm.
I don't know if I want to spend $2 to watch a Humphrey Bogart Biography series, but...
You
there might
know.
Be some stuff in there.
Yeah.
I'd rather buy something like that on, I don't know, an a la carte type of thing where you can get maybe 10 episodes for, you know, $10.
Yeah.
$1 an episode. That would be worth it to me, but $2, eh.
Yeah.
But for some people, it's going to be a pretty cool thing. Apple launches Summer of Music in Japan.
Apple today launched the Summer of Music in Japan with free music from iTunes, Japan's favorite online music store. Collectible iTunes cards, and exclusive live performances at Apple retail stores.
All summer long, iTunes is offering free music, music videos, and collectible iTunes cards featuring free downloads from the hottest artists in Japan, including Ken Ishii,
Simon Laban,
Hifana,
and the world premiere of a brand new video from Beck.
I didn't know Beck was that popular in Japan.
I didn't either.
Music fans at Summer Sonic will receive collectible iTunes cards with free music downloads on August 12th in Tokyo and August 13th in Osaka.
Apple's seven retail stores in Japan are holding in-store performances with favorite local and international artists, including upcoming performances by Pez and She Wants Revenge. Next, Mac Office Security Update released.
Microsoft has released Microsoft Office version X. Is that supposed to be 10 or is that an X?
I get so confused with it all. Let's call it 10.
For Mac, the company says this update fixes product vulnerabilities in Office version X that an attacker can use to overwrite the contents of your computer's memory with malicious code.
The update applies to Office version X, Microsoft Word X for Mac.
Yeah, it's all in there.
Basically the whole Office suite.
It's all been updated, so it's nice that this is Apple or Microsoft's been coming up with a few fixes and updates for Office.
Yeah.
By the way, I did find something that you're looking for and I forgot to bring it with me.
Eureka!
I just remembered and I left it at home. Pro Tools to be compatible with new Mac Pro. This is huge news for a large segment of the Mac. Well, I don't want to say large, but a lot of Mac users. Yeah. Pro Tools is the application for recording music.
DigiDesign has announced that Icon, Pro Tools HD, Pro Tools LE, and Pro Tools M-powered systems will soon be compatible with the new Mac Pro, introduced by Apple yesterday at WWDC in San Francisco.
DigiDesign expects to release the Intel-based Mac-compatible update to Pro Tools HD 7.2 software in the next month. This free update for all owners of Pro Tools HD 7.2 will include
Icon and Pro Tools HD users to build their DigiDesign systems around the new Mac Pro. With a similar time frame, the company expects to release compatible versions of its range of DigiDesign and DigiDesign distributed TDM plugins while working closely with third-party manufacturers to help them port their plugins and compatible apps to the Intel Mac platform.
DigiDesign. Ubuntu.
Apple has also created an exclusive Bob Dylan digital box set entitled The Collection that includes all of Dylan's albums with nearly 800 tracks spanning his career. The Bob Dylan digital box set will be available for purchase and download for $199 exclusively from iTunes beginning August 29th.
Now, that's not bad.
No.
$200 for nearly 800 tracks?
Dang near everything he's ever written. So,
if you did the math, $200 and you get 800 tracks. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a lot of music. Yeah. If you're a huge Dylan fan, having to spend $13.99 for his new album rather than $9.99 for like everybody else's album.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, you're a Dylan fan, you can kind of go, but you know what? Yeah. $200 and you get 800 mm-hmm. tunes.
But if you're that big a Dylan fan, you probably have them already. You've probably ripped them into iTunes. Maybe.
800, though? How long would that take to download?
Golly.
I mean, if you bought that, and you're going to download 800, mm-hmm. you figure each song is at least, 4 to 5 megs.
That's one fat download.
That's a big download there. Mm-hmm. Can you send it out to me on a disc, maybe? Send it to me on a disc. Yeah. I'll rip it myself if you mm-hmm. don't mind. That's what I'll do. So our news that we want to definitely talk about here towards the end of the show is we're going to be broadcasting the MyMac.com podcast live from the Apple Store in Grand Rapids, Michigan on September 23rd of this year, 2006, at 3 p.m. Again, that's live from the Apple Store. That's right. We're going to be recording the podcast at the Apple Store in Grand Rapids, Michigan, September 23rd. 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So anybody that lives in Michigan, or let's say anywhere on the northern hemisphere.
Well, yeah, that too.
Yeah. Or, you know, if you can afford the, we have someone that's in Saudi Arabia who has this big travel thing all the time.
Wouldn't it be great if he took a travelogue tour of Grand Rapids, Michigan?
Specifically the Apple Store.
That would be awesome.
We would love to have as many of our listeners as we can to come out to the Apple Store on September 23rd, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Woodland Mall, and participate in recording our podcast. We want to talk to a lot of the people that are there, some of the store people, some of the customers. Some people are going to be there that has no idea who the heck I am, and I plan on just talking to them. Why are they in the store? Are they a current Mac user? I think it'll be fun.
Oh, yeah. That'll be great.
And we're also going to have a lot of cool stuff to give away. Can't give it away yet because it's not set in stone, but I do have a Griffin Technology item. I have an iPod case for a fifth generation 30 gig iPod with video.
Yeah.
So that'll be pretty cool, and we've got a lot of other products that we're looking to give away as well.
And once again, these will be giveaways. There's no contest involved. Just show up and you are eligible.
Unfortunately, it looks like I'm going to be flying solo that day.
Yeah, I have a family commitment that I scheduled, I called, and I should probably be there for.
Yeah, yeah, it's it's unfortunate. It's going to be weird for me for our first live broadcast without you being there. It's going to be very odd.
Yeah, so help Tim out, and please be there.
Yes, I need your help. If I'm going to be all by myself, I could use somebody there. At least one of you who listen to the podcast, lives somewhere in the area that could make the drive. I know we've got people in Detroit area, south of Detroit specifically, and he knows who I'm talking about because he won a prize from us in the past.
Yeah.
We had the person on today.
Oh, yeah.
He's from the area.
Yeah, Dan Rodriguez.
Yeah,
so.
Dan's...
Adrian,
that's not far away. He could come on, you can make it.
And who knows, we may even have a Chad for the Day contest.
Yes,
you could be Chad Perry for the day.
Chad for the day, that would be kind of fun. So that's September 23rd, 2006, and we're going to keep harping on that as time draws near. That will actually be the 100th episode of MyMac.com, and unfortunately.
We've got something special planned for our actual 100th episode.
Yeah, so we're going to have to split the 100th episode up over like a two-day period.
Yeah.
It'll be two different shows, but it will be part one, part two of episode 100.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll record episode 102 just so we can keep it on track. Last, before we get out of here for the day, I want to ask all of our listeners, and this is serious for just a second here, a good friend of the show, Rick Stringer, we've had him on in the past.
And if you listen to the Variant Frequencies podcast, you hear him every time you download it.
He had a tragic accident in his family, and we're unsure on what the resolution of that is at this time.
But please send your good thoughts, your
good
prayers,
wishes.
If you do that. Send that out to Rick Stringer and his family.
We have a listenership that literally spans the entire globe.
Mm-hmm.
So if enough of our listeners send out these good vibes Rick's way, and he knows what to do with those good vibes, where to send them to, maybe we'll make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
I hope.
Yeah.
That's what I hope will happen. And we just want to wish him and his family all the best and a speedy recovery. And I wish there was more that we could do. So that is our podcast. We'll be back next week. Make sure you tune in on Monday to hear the My Mac Mini podcast number 3. I really enjoyed, or it'll be number 4 this week, I guess. We just posted number 3.
Yeah.
Did you notice on the new mini podcast, you don't hear me until the very end?
I haven't even heard it yet.
Well, see, there you go.
I know.
We start right out with David Cohen. I got rid of the theme music that we used on this show. I thought, you know what, that theme music is for this show.
Yeah.
I didn't want to put it on that show, too. So that's the podcast. We look forward to getting any and all feedback from you guys. We'd love to hear your stories on tech support, how bad you were treated in tech support for whatever product it is, preferably computers and electronics. And we'd love to hear what it means to you to be a Mac user.
So if you would like to hear yourself on the 100th episode, please drop us either a MP3 file.
And you can send the MP3 file to mymacpodcast@gmail.com.
Or drop us a line on our Skype account. It's 1-801-938-5559.
That's 1-801-938-5559. We shouldn't do that at the same time. It sounds goofy when we do. We're talking at the same time. That's the show. Thanks for listening.
Thanks.
Thanks for downloading the MyMac.com podcast. You can subscribe to this podcast at our RSS feed at MyMac.com or by visiting the iTunes Music Store's podcast section. Please send all feedback to MyMacPodcast@gmail.com. And thanks for listening to the MyMac.com podcast.